It also means to feel remorse, regret, or sorrow for one's wrongdoing or sin. So to change one's mind about living without the Lord Jesus and putting your faith in him is true repentance. I repented on the day that I changed my mind about how I was living my life. And I said, Lord, I don't want to live like this anymore. So I had a change of mind that took place. Now, this change only takes place by the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit and the goodness of God is what leads men to repentance. So nobody repents on their own, by themselves. It takes God working in your life to bring you to a place that you don't want that life no more. And you're willing to do whatever it takes to get out of that life. You're willing to turn from your sin and to turn from ungodliness, and you turn to God. That's what real repentance is. Amen? It's where you're willing to say, I need a change, and you change your mind about how you're living. Amen? When Peter stood up on the day of Pentecost and preached, and 3,000 people got saved, guess what he told them to do? He said, repent! He said, change your mind, because Jerusalem was filled with people who thought Jesus was false. There were people that thought he was just a good man. So Peter, when he said, repent, he said, change your mind about Jesus. Change your mind about him. He's not just a good man. You know, he's not some rebel who was crucified. Change your mind about him. I'm going to tell you, he's alive. And he is the Savior. And these men were cut to the heart. And they say, what shall we do? What shall we do? And Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. And you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the life of God coming in you. He preached repentance. Now, let me go through some of these scriptures here. We okay with what repent means? All right, now, Matthew 4:7, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. In Matthew 9:13, he said, I came not to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. In Mark 1:15, and this is one of my favorite, Jesus said, the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe the gospel. Notice here that repentance, a change of mind, takes place before you put faith in Jesus. And you'll see it in the scripture like this in several places where they talk about repentance, repentance from dead works and faith toward God. Repentance comes first. But some people want to bypass repentance and just want to go to believing the gospel. I believe Jesus died for my sin. Did you repent of your sin? You don't want to bypass that part.
You have been listening to Living by the Word with your host, Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I trust that you received the Word of God that will change your life and make you strong. This message is available for a gift of $8 postage paid. If you would like a copy of today's message, call us at 318-442-8100. That's 318-442-8100. Or write us at P.O. Box 13195, Alexandria, Louisiana, 71315. We invite you to join us every Sunday morning at 8:30 or 10:30 a.m. and on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. for worship service. We're located at 4701 Lee Street, just two blocks off MacArthur Drive. Until next time, may God richly bless you. Hello, I'm Greg Tejada, pastor of the Word Christian Center in Alexandria, Louisiana. I'd like to tell you about my book titled, Jesus Did It For You. I'm excited about this book because it focuses on the cross of Jesus Christ and what he did for us. Everything Jesus did, he did for our benefit. So many have only a limited knowledge of what belongs to them because of the price Jesus paid for our redemption. He became sin so we could be made righteous. He became poor so we could be made rich. He was beaten so we could be healed and walk in health. He carried our sorrows so we could have fullness of joy. This is just a glimpse of what you'll find in Jesus Did It For You. I also share what's included in your heavenly benefits package and give practical insight on how to receive, apply, and enjoy the inheritance God has freely given you. You can receive your copy of Jesus Did It For You for only $11.95 at Amazon.com, BarnesandNoble.com, TheWordCC.com, or you can call 318-442-8100. The book is also available in hardcover and Kindle versions. Order your copy today. Jesus Did It For You. Thank you, and may God richly bless you.
K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM, 70,000 watts of gospel power. Power beaming on the Blue Mountains of Mississippi and the flat plains of West Texas and the beaches and bayous of Louisiana. K-A-Y-T, 88.1 FM.
Jesus.
Welcome to the Movement of Christ Worldwide Ministers Broadcast, brought to you by the Greater King David Baptist Church, pastored by Dr. John E. Montgomery II, one church ministering in two locations, 222 Blood Road and 7305 Harry Drive, Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Thank you for your prayers and support of the ministry. Let us now join the broadcast already in progress.
Hope for all I do.
Might not only hear, but heed what you have to say. And, oh, gracious God, we'll be ever so careful to give you all praise, glory, and honor. It is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, praise be unto the Lord. If you will turn your Bibles to a very familiar passage of Scripture found in the book of Acts, we want to revisit Acts beginning at Chapter 3 and verse 1. Acts 3, 1 reads, "Now Peter and John went up together into the temple at the hour of prayer, being the ninth hour. And a certain man, lame from his mother's womb, was carried, whom they laid daily at the gate of the temple, which is called Beautiful, to ask alms of them that entered into the temple. Who, seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple, asked an alms. And Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, Look on us. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Then Peter said, Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I thee in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength. And he leaping up stood and walked, and entered with them into the temple, walking and leaping and praising God. And all the people saw him walking and praising God. Verse 10, and they knew that it was he which sat for alms at the beautiful gate of the temple, and they were filled with wonder and amazement at that which had happened unto him." May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his holy word. You may be seated in his presence. For just a little while, I want to speak from the subject. It's not how you start, but finish that matters the most. It's not how you start, but finish that matters the most. My brothers and sisters, as we look at this story today, it is so evidently clear that this man who was born lame, who had a setback from the beginning, who was dealing with from the beginning of his life to that present state with a illness, a debilitating illness that caused him always to be dependent on somebody else helping him, supporting him, or sustaining him. It is a clear story that says to us that there are times in life that you'll be put in positions and in places that you suffer a setback that had absolutely nothing to do with you. Sometimes your position will be dictated by others or other situations or other circumstances that you had no part to play in. But thanks be to God that God doesn't rate us on our starts. God doesn't judge us on our starts. Some of us start out with silver spoons in our mouths. Some of us start off on the right side of the track. Some of us start off being bought and brought into places of prominence because of our natural positioning, our natural selection, our natural blessings. But others of us have been put in a place where it is conspicuously obvious we would not have started ourselves if we were able to do something about where we find ourselves in the beginning. Sometime when you look at your family, you wonder, Lord, why you put me in this family? Huh? Now let's be real. We got some family folk that you don't want to claim as family. Isn't it strange that we can't pick our mamas and our daddies? When we know anything, God has already given us those mothers and fathers. Isn't it strange that we can't dictate the color of our skin? Isn't it strange that we can't come here already multi-million, billion, whatever now? Isn't it strange that we don't have much to do with our beginning? But thanks be to God, in the midst of that, God allows us to come to a point in the place where while we may not have been able to select our beginning, we can select our finish. Look at the text again. I want you to walk through it. I want you to see some things. Because the first thing you're going to note was that this man was helpless. All right. Somebody say helpless. Let's look at the text and you'll see verse 2. And it says, and a certain man. And I've shared with you, whenever you see the word certain, it is a literal person. But the reason the name is not highlighted or spotlighted is because there is a principle that's more important that you understand than the name of the person that the principle speaks. So listen to this. It says, and a certain man lame from his mother's womb was carried. This man was helpless from the beginning. Setback from the beginning. Shortchanged from the beginning. And so he was helpless from the beginning. The word says he was carried, which meant that he had to depend on somebody else to take care of him or to transport him from his house to the beautiful gate, to the place where the temple of God was, where the people of God gathered daily, hoping that he would somehow press upon their spirit of compassion. And so if those persons whom he depended on would not carry him there, he would not get there. So he himself was helpless and dependent. Can I tell you, it's one thing to be helpless, but it's another thing to be dependent on somebody else. And I don't know if you know it, but sometimes it's difficult to depend on man because it just depends on how he feels that day. And then when folk help you consistently, look like they get an attitude with you. If you can't get it together quick as they'd like you to get it together, and you got to go, it becomes an inconvenience to them. And you see a whole lot happening when you have to constantly depend on the same folk. But I want you to see something else. Though he was helpless, he was not hopeful. I've read the verses to you, but I want to walk through and point out these points for you just to help you see the word. The Bible says in verse 4, and Peter, fastening his eyes upon him with John, said, look on us. Now, here is again, now the man was helpless, but there at the gate where he begged for alms, where he begged for money, for support, for food, whatever would be given to help sustain his life, here is Peter and John, and they come now. And he's done no less with them than he's done with all the others. He has asked them for help. Now, while they are coming and they're on their way to church to pray specifically that God would do whatever it is that God desires to do, sometimes you need to recognize that while you're on your way to pray, if you're truly sincere about your prayer, many times God will use you to be a part to the answer of the prayer. And sometimes when you want to be a blessing and, Lord, you use me for your glory, sometimes the glory that God gets is when you help somebody else in the earth realm. And so whatever the issue is that this man had, his immediate need was financial, it was food, and it was supplies. And so he looked upon mankind to take care of that issue. So recognizing that his need was temporal, recognizing that his need was temporary, Peter and John said, look on us. Do we look like we're rich to you? We don't have silver, nor do we have, man, we ain't got no money. Now, we could be asking just like you, but we know there are some things far greater than silver and gold. One of the things that Peter and John wanted him to understand in his focus was this, that you have greater needs than just that of the natural or the temporal. You have greater needs than that of the physical. Not to say that you don't have those needs, but you've got to go sometime deeper than those needs to be able to recognize that God, if he straightens out and changes the needs that are greater than the temporal, if he goes in and deals with the issues underneath the skin, it will change the issues above the skin. See, when you come to the realization that sometimes what you're asking for is not always what you need. Sometimes what you really ought to be asking for isn't what you can hold in your hand. Sometimes what you really need and should be asking for is not limited to the natural realm. You've got to go into the spiritual realm to be able to make things right there so that things can find themselves manifesting in the natural realm. Look at what the word says. I want you to see verse 5. And he gave heed unto them, expecting to receive something of them. Now, when Peter and John said, look on us, he said, oh, I'm about to get something. I'm about to get something. Now, listen to this. Even though they said, we don't have no silver and gold, he was still expecting to receive something. Because listen at this, sometimes what can be given to you can be greater than money, because what he was about to give him was something that was so resourceful that it would restore his body to the divine plan of God, which would include health and wholeness, and that was far greater than money. See, what everybody else had given him might have been a little silver, a little gold, a little food, a little supplies. And every day he would need more of that. But what Peter and John had was greater than what his temporal needs were. Here's what they had. They had the anointing of the Lord Jesus Christ, which gave them the ability to heal and to deliver and to set free. Now listen to this. His temporal needs may have been money issues to supply his natural needs, but his deeper needs came out of a spiritual reality that had to do with him being first spiritually whole, thus God then being able to make him physically whole, thus making and giving him the ability to get a job, thus giving him the ability to make his own money without having to depend on anybody daily. You see, a whole lot of folk I've discovered don't want a job. They just want to beg. They just want a handout. They don't want a helping hand, because then that means they would no longer be qualified for a handout. And some folk find it comfortable and convenient to simply beg for a living. Now listen to this. They wanted to do more than feel a temporary need. And I need you to know this. God wants to always do more than a temporary thing for you. God's best for you is never filled in the temporary mode. God's best for you is never ever filled in just the right now. God wants you to have his best now and always. So not only was he helpless, but he was not hopeful. I mean, he was hopeful because he was helped. Look at verse 7. The Bible says, and he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. And immediately, somebody say immediately, his feet and ankle bones received strength. He was helped. Why was he helped? Because he was hopeful. Now, I got to tell you, my brothers and sisters, I don't care what you're going through. I don't care where you are. I don't care what your beginning was. I don't care what your start was. If you are hopeful, help is not far away. I said, if you are hopeful, you see, when you give up hope, you then remove the opportunity for God to step in and work the situation out that you cannot work out. People become hopeless when they've done all that they can do in the natural, only to discover that in the natural, their powers are limited, their resources are limited, and they are unable to do any more than their natural abilities can do. But you never become hopeless when you are looking to the Lord as your hope. And when you become focused on God, hope always ensues when you are in your lowest point. You begin to recognize that what you're going through, this too, may not pass today, may not pass tomorrow, but the record is clear, it will not last. How many times have you ever been in through some stuff and been in situations that didn't look like it would pass, but when you look back, you realize it's in the past? Well, can I tell you, I don't care how bad a day you have, if you can just hold on for 24 hours. Somebody's not getting this. I said, I don't care how bad a day you are having, if you can just hold on for 24 hours, the day is going to pass. You might weep through the night, but the Bible says joy cometh in the morning, and the morning represents hope and another chance and another day to move beyond the things that hindered you and held you down in the past. His benefits are new every day. So I don't care what the situation may be today. If the Lord removes you from this day and presents a brand new day to you, then he's giving you the hope that what this day includes is a brand new start and an opportunity for you to be righted all the wrongs that the past have brought. Look again. He was helped. Verse 8 tells us something else. Not only was he helped, because all help doesn't mean that you're healed. Verse 8 reveals that he was healed. You see, he had been getting help all the time, but he hadn't gotten healed. These men didn't give him no silver and gold, but what they gave him was greater than silver and gold could have afforded. He was healed. Look at what the verse says in verse 8. It says, and he leaping up stood. Listen. And walked and entered with them into the temple. Walking and leaping. Listen at this word. And praising God. Now let me show you something here, because he's grateful now. He's been healed. What he does is he experiences something he's never experienced before. The first thing he did was he stood. Look at the verse again, verse 8. And he leaping up stood. Now somebody might have stood him up before, but he fell. And now that he was pulled up by the right hand and felt the strength in his ankles, he stood without the support of anybody's help. His strength came from a supernatural source underneath the skin. And so now he could stand on his own without the propping support of somebody else. I can't begin to tell you what a liberating experience it is when you've gone through some stuff and you can finally stand by yourself. See, God wants you to be able, no matter how dark your days and how trouble-filled your nights are, that you will come to a place where you will be able to experience the liberating ability of being able to stand by yourself. Can I tell you something else? Once he had gotten strengthened and once he stood, he didn't want to go back to laying down again. Somebody's not hearing me here. You see, a whole lot of folk get comfortable in their conditions and in their circumstances. And even though God gives them the ability to stand up, they go back to what they're familiar with. This man didn't want to be down anymore. And when he stood, he said, well, I ain't going to stop at standing. He said, these ankles feel strong. He said, I feel sorry for those folk who don't want to leap. You don't know what a joy it is to be able to. I wish I had a leaper in the house who could bear witness. Because I promise you, if you were unable to leap, you'd know what a blessing it is to be able to. Oh, thank you. But he said, listen, I'm not just going to leap. I'm going to do what I haven't been able to do before. I'm going to. I wish I had a witness here. I wanted to be able to turn around. Every time I turn around, he. Y'all don't understand. See, when you got the ability to do it and can't appreciate it, it don't mean nothing to you. But this man didn't have that privilege. He watched folk walk. He watched folk leap. He watched folk dance. He watched folk run. But he could never do it himself. Oh, how we take for granted the simple, blessed privileges of the activities of our limbs. Oh, when he got the revelation of that, he said, I can't stop at leaping. I can't stop at walking. But let me give some praise to the one who made it happen. To the one who made it possible. I realized that folk were helping me to get to my day of deliverance. And you ought to be thankful for the people God uses you, uses for you to help you get to your point of deliverance. But I got to tell you something. If you really want to be delivered, you need to show up at the Lord's house. Somebody don't hear me here. He could have stayed home and whined and complained and talk about woe is me and Lord, why am I sick in my body? I've not done any wrong. He could have stayed there and talked to the people around his house, but he said, I tell you what, just bring me to the church house. I might not be able to stand and I might not be able to walk and I might not be able to leap, but if you just get me to the church house. And no doubt, listen at this, he was thanking God all the time. Lord, I'll be so glad when I can walk on my own and give you praise and glory. I dare you to want to give him glory. I dare you to want to praise him. I dare you to want to jump and shout. God will give you something to jump and shout for. You just got to want it in your own spirit. Listen. How do you know he wanted that, Pastor? Well, let's go back to the text. Look at what the word says. Again, the Bible says Verse 8, and he leaping up stood and walked and entered with them into the temple. Now, when he got his deliverance, when he got his healing, he could have run straight on home to tell people at home, look at what God's done for me. But he had his priorities straight. He had been wishing he could go in and praise God. So now that he was whole and now that he was healed, he took advantage of the opportunity to give God some praise.